Okay, praise the Lord. And turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be sharing some things today that can be very simple. Michael, I'm getting a lot of... Maybe it's because I'm in front of the speakers. Should I step back? Okay, anyway, it may be very simple, but I believe there's a lot of profound things that are in here. So if you have a way of taking notes, you may want to take some notes, because I think you'll want to go back to it again. There's a lot that is very deep in this very simple message. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The word reign is used twice in this verse. One, reigned in past tense, and then reign as in the present continuing tense at the end of the verse. The word reign in the Greek here means to be king, to exercise kingly power, to exercise the highest influence or control, and it is the verb form of king. It is to do king. To reign is to do king. It's to do what a king does. It's to exercise his authority, exercise his dominion, exercise his influence, exercise his power or control. Now let's look at what the scripture is saying here. For if by one man's offense, who's the one man? What was his offense? Adam, and when he committed high treason against God by obeying the voice of the serpent rather than Almighty God. Since that point, it says that death reigned by that one act, by that one person, by that one act of treason. Death reigned. What did we say reign means? It means to exercise that kingly authority. When that happened, guess what was in charge? Guess what was released in the world? What power was released and how powerful it was? It was death, it was corruption, it was evil, and it was released to reign. It exercised authority in the lives of mankind. And all we have to do is look around and see the contrast between the original Garden of Eden and what that looked like, and the peace and the tranquility and the blessing and the productivity that was going on in the Garden of Eden. And we look around and see the contrast between that and today, and just how much it is different from that. But if we believe that to be the case, and we believe that death has been reigning since Adam, we must believe that the second part of this verse is equally true, and that is that they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, who are those people? Well, I'm one of them. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and if He's your Lord, and you've submitted your life to Him, and you received His grace, then you have received this kingly authority into your life back again. And we are to reign in life by Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but if you begin to think about the ramifications of that verse, and if you think Scripture and believe Scripture to be true, then God has put us in a position where we should be no longer under things anymore. We shouldn't be tossed to and fro and knocked everywhere by the things that life brings against us.
We should be in charge. We should be reigning in life. We should be on top of things instead of things being on top of us. Now, I'm not asking you, is that your everyday experience? I'm not asking you, do you live up to that right now? Because in some ways we do, in some ways we don't. And that's the whole purpose of this message. But what God is saying is, that is His will for us. That is what He provided for us. That we, as believers, who've received this grace of God, can reign in life. Now that life, you may be thinking, oh yeah, brother, but that's when we get to heaven. That's when everything, God puts everything, all His enemies, totally, once and for all, under His feet. And we're in heaven, and there's no more sorrows, there's no more problems, there's no more sin. We'll reign then. We'll reign with Him then. No, He says, reign in life. That word life there is Zoe. And I know some people, like Jason was talking last week about, or a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, that the, help me out, Jason, the two words.
I know exactly what you're talking about, now I can't think of.
You preached it, brother. I had it in my mind a few minutes ago, too. But anyway, there seems to be in some preaching a clear demarcation between one word and another Greek word, and people see that it always means one thing, but anyway, it doesn't. There's a mix of the two. We all remember He said something, right? Anyway, I've heard it preached, and it'll come back, but I heard it preached also before that Zoe is the God kind of life, and it's different than regular life. It's the God kind of life. It's the infusion of the life of God into a believer. But the lines aren't that clear with this. It can mean that, but it also means just our life, just living life. It can mean eternal life, but usually it says eternal with it. But listen to this verse here in Luke chapter 16, in verse 25. And this is when talking about the rich man who died and went into the place of torment, to Hades. And he looked across the gulf and he saw Lazarus. And he was being in Abraham's bosom, and he was being comforted over there. But anyway, it says in verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime," he's talking to the rich man who lived an evil life, "in thy lifetime receivest thy goods, and likewise Lazarus," the guy who was over in Abraham's bosom, "evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." The word lifetime there is the same word Zoe. So he's talking about you in your lifetime. He's talking about on this earth, in the period of time in which you lived. So it's not just a God kind of life. We're not talking about heaven when he says over here that we will reign in life by one Jesus Christ. He's talking about in this period of time in which we now live. The word life in this case, by context, means the period of time spent on earth having been created and animated by God according to His will, and in order to fulfill His purposes. That is the life that God has given each and every one of us, that has been given to us that we might use that life for His glory. Whether we do or we don't, all life comes from God. Did you figure it out?
Logos versus Rhema.
Oh, yeah. Rhema and Logos, and how Rhema is supposed to be a word that always means a right now word from God, and Logos is the written word from God. And it's, a lot of people preach that there's a huge difference between the two, and we have
the logos, but what we want is rhema. And there's not that clear delineation of that word in there. And the same thing with Zoe and the other forms of life. Anyway, it says Zoe here, but it's talking about the period of time that we spend on this earth. Our life. How we spend our life. Our lifetime. The dash between our born and the dead. The dash. That's what we are living. That's the period of time. That is the life that he was talking about. And God said in that period of in between, born and go to be with the Lord, or death, which you either go to be with the Lord and go to hell from there. He says the believer, during that period of time, should be reigning over the affairs of their life. There are so many people that feel like, woe is me. You know, because I'm a Christian, I'm now doomed to have nothing. I'm doomed to be poor. I'm doomed to be underneath everything. I'm doomed to be just like a mat for everybody to walk on. I'm doomed for nothing to go right and God to get glory out of my messed up, trampled up, stepped on, poor, miserable existence. And God will get glory out of that. That's not the will of God. Will some of us be persecuted? Physically, yes. Will all of us be persecuted in some sort of way, cast out of their presence, ignored, lied about? Yes, all of us. Will we experience hardship? Yes. But does that mean all areas of our life are going to be like that? No. He said, I want you to reign in life. I want you to have authority over things. I want you to realize you're here to make things happen God's way. You have an influence that you can exert upon your life, your family, your community, your world. We're not here for no reason. We're here to exert influence and reign as kings. Now don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching good, Brother Eric. It is the will of God that we, as born-again believers, reign as kings in all of the affairs of our lives, by and through the power of the risen Christ. You know, this was the created purpose of man in the beginning. It started out this way. Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4, speaking about man and his creation. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This is what God created man to do. And dominion was also his purpose when after man fell, when Adam and Eve fell, that he called a people group to be his own. When he, through Abraham, called together out of the peoples of the earth a people that would acknowledge him as God and turn to him and rely upon him, the children of Israel, as it became to be called. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, I encourage you to read the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 28. I do that this morning, but I'm not going to for the sake of time, and it's so powerful. But listen to verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee. This is the part of the first part, which is the blessings of obedience. Then after the blessings of obedience, he goes into the curses of disobedience. But the blessings of obedience, he said, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. The word head means to be head, chief, top, captain, ruler. God had planned for Adam and Eve and all mankind before sin came to have dominion, to rule, and to reign on the earth. Then when they sinned and Adam fell, then he had a people that he wanted himself show their, himself strong on their behalf. And he wanted to be their God, and he wanted to take care of them like he wanted to do the whole world. And so he had a people that he wanted to bless. And he said, part of my blessing is you'll be the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Man, it's powerful. You know, over the years, there's been a lot of preaching that I've been privileged to hear. I don't think it's always been balanced. And I don't think it's always been received with balance, even if it was preached with balance. But there's many people who have come to realize that reigning in life is definitely the will of God for them. However, very few realize that reigning happens, listen to this, according to a plan and a pattern. It happens methodically and orderly, not haphazardly and randomly. The way you reign in life can't be any old kind of way. It's got to be according to the pattern and plan that God establishes. It begins in an area of deposit and then grows outward from there. Let's just think about the coronation of a king. When a king is coronated, when he is given all of the rights and privileges of a king, and this is bestowed upon him, it's done in an audience of relatively few compared to the rest of his kingdom. Everybody understand that? Usually it's in a room or a big hall in the throne room somewhere where all this fanfare and all of the symbolism and everything can be enjoyed. And everyone in that room, when the pronouncement is made, when the sword comes down, when whatever takes place, and he's proclaimed to be king, then the first people that are affected by that are the ones who hear it first. There is a point of deposit where his kingship is deposited upon him, and there's an area. I mean, he's now potentially king over the whole realm. But it begins in that small room, and then it goes out. The news goes out from there. And if there's any enemies, he has to enforce his kingship. If there's any people plotting to destroy him, an evil brother or whatever, or a cousin, or somebody who doesn't want him to be king, he's already been proclaimed king. It came into that area of deposit, where that was deposited upon him, but then that which is true here has to become true out here. Does everybody understand? Okay. Brothers and sisters, that's what happens in our lives. There is a deposit of God within us where we have been given this kingly authority. And it's in that area, which we'll talk about in a minute, that it is immediately enacted upon. It's immediately true. But then we have to enforce that outward from there. Let's look at the Garden of Eden. We talked about that was the first place where God had His will was. First of all, He put them in the garden and He gave them the command to dress it and to keep it. So the first area
of deposit, or the area of deposit where it first came, was where? In the garden. The garden wasn't the whole world, was it? The garden was just the garden. It was in the Garden of Eden, and then the whole earth went out from there. But then he gave them the command to fill the earth, to multiply, to fill the earth and have dominion. So from the garden, from that area of deposit, then the command was the rest of the earth. Take what I've given you and who I've made you to be and impress that not only in this area of deposit, but out there. Take it to the ends of the earth. Have dominion over the earth. So first dress and keep the garden. Take care of this area of deposit and then take it out from there. What about the children of Israel? He called them to be his people. He was going to bring them into the promised land. He gave them the first few victories. There was an area of deposit where they were to begin to come into the promised land and to reign as victors over the area. They were to take it. But listen what he said in Exodus chapter 23, starting in verse 29. I will not drive them out from before thee. He's talking about the inhabitants of the land in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. He said, I'm not going to drive them out all at once. I'm not going to take these people who are out there farming the fields, tending the vines, taking care of things, building bridges, making homes. I'm not going to drive them all out at once before you're able to come into the land, because it'll all just get overgrown, and everything that I'm trying to give you, and as far as fields already planted and stuff, it was a promise that he said to them, it'll all be overgrown. The beasts of the field will increase, and you'll just have to work harder. I'm not going to do it all at once. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee till thou be increased and inherit the land. He gave them the initial victory. The fear of the children of Israel was on the people and the rest of the land. They had heard about the victories that they had in Jericho and other entry places. But the Lord said, you're going to have to now take this victory. You're going to have to take what I've given you and the authority I've given you. Take it and begin to conquer outward with that. And I'm not going to do it all for you. This is something you're going to have to do in me with my strength. But you're going to have to take it and go from there. How about the believer? I already mentioned a little bit about it, but we didn't get into it in any detail. Is there an area of deposit in the believer? Is there an area in us where the Spirit of Christ has already given us total victory? Where we are already reigning with Him? Is there an area within us when we get born again? Is there a place in us? Where is that place? In our spirit. Remember, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. You're a spirit being. I am a spirit. I have a soul, my intellect, my emotions, and I live in a body. When I become one with Jesus through believing in Him, what becomes one with Him? My body? If you're fat when you get saved, the night before you're saved, you get saved, I dare say you'll be fat the next day. The body doesn't change that quick. If you have areas in your character that need to be changed, they don't reflect the nature of Christ, you get born again, I dare say you're going to have areas in your character that need to change. But when you are born again, His Spirit becomes one with your spirit, and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Where are they made new? In your spirit. That is the deposit of Christ within you. And that is the area that you reign completely first of all. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When we're born again, when we're saved, we sit together with Him in heavenly places. Now, I sat on a hard chair this morning. You're sitting on a hard chair right now. I don't think that's heavenly places. I think my seat beside Christ in heaven is going to feel a little more comfortable than that. And I hope yours does too. My body's not sitting with Him in heavenly places. My soul is not sitting with Him in heavenly places. But my spirit is. And so is yours if you're born again. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We're sitting there now, but we are going to continually go forward. And in the ages to come, now and ongoing, He's going to reveal more and more of His glory through us. Amen? So here's what happens. Growth. There's that place of impact, that place of deposit, and then there's growth and increase that goes outward from there. That's the will of God, that's the plan of God. And that's how we are to reign in life. We realize who we are in Christ Jesus. We realize the authority that's been given to us, that's already deposited in there, and we allow the grace of God and our minds to be renewed and everything to happen, so that begins to work itself outward. I got some PowerPoint presentations I want to share with you. First of all, the correct, go to concentric circles. This is just a picture of what it's like, the correct way that the deposit grows. First, we're going to talk about concentric circles. And we see the very point in the middle, the red, that's the very center of that circle. You have to forgive me if anybody's going to complain that some of our circles are not completely accurate. Then you can come help me next time I do a presentation. I tried, okay? The area of deposit is the whole circle. That, in a human being, is our what? Our spirit. Okay? That is our spirit. Okay, go to the next one. Now, the next greatest area of importance, and we're not going to talk about what that is now, but let's just name a few that it could be. What besides, and we're going to say that the area of deposit is our spirit, and then it goes out from there. So from our spirit, where does it need to go to next? The rest of ourself, right? The rest of our being. So let's say the next greatest area of importance is ourself. Okay? Concentric circles. Now, concentric circles are circles which have the same center point. Now, that same center point, which is the very center of our spirit, which Jesus Christ has come in. He's the very center of our being, our spiritual being, and He should be the center of everything in our lives. Okay, the next area of importance is ourself, but concentric circles have the same center point. So the next circle, which is bigger in area, still has the same center point. Okay, go to the next one. And again, the next area of importance now from ourself, what could possibly be the next area or realm that is we should go out from? This life of Christ and this reigning and being responsible, what should come out from there? Family, home. Okay, now we'll go into this next week. We're only going to start this week on the application of this. But the next greatest things, what I want you to see is there is something out there that we need to take the life of Christ and the power of Christ and the reigning, our kingdom authority, and extend it into another area. For it to stay just within sight of us and we never exercise it, is that the will of God for our lives? No, He said we should reign in life. Okay, and then one more, I think. Okay, so concentric circles. Every one of those circles is has the same center point. Now, if we take and say that from the area of deposit, that in our spirit we're full of Christ, we're full of His authority, and that raises, wells up within us and it spills out where next? Into the next area of importance, right? And then when that gets filled up, it spills out into the other area. For it to get into any other area, for it to get to this area, what has to be full next? This one. If we're going to reign in life, we've got to realize, and we're going to take the authority of Christ, take His Spirit, take His power, take the love, everything that He brings and makes us to overcome. For it to get here, it's got to come from here. And for it to get here, it's got to come through here. There is an order about things. And if it's not done in order, things happen in a way that is not sustainable and begins to not make sense to other people looking on. Let's go to the next one, the eccentric circles. Okay, starts out the same way. There's an area of deposit. Okay? But this is one of the incorrect pictures of how to reign in life. Next slide. Okay, eccentric circles, as opposed to concentric circles, are circles which do not have the same center point, but at least one circle contains all the center points. They're connected and they're kind of together and they're kind of joined, but they don't have the same center point. What difference does it make? I'll show you that in a second. Okay, so the area of deposit, and the same thing again, the next greatest area of importance, let's say that becomes self there. Okay, next slide. Then the next greatest area of importance, and we said, you know, we could say our family would be next. And then let's go to one more. Okay, now what's wrong with this? They're all kind of connected. They're not totally disjointed. There's a way of getting from here to here to here to here. The problem is it's out of balance. What started out as the center of our spirit is not necessarily, it's a part of, but it's not necessarily the center of ourself. Are y'all with me? So if it's not the center, then things are a little bit out of balance. And then if we go, and this represents family, the area of deposit is still connected with our family. The family is still getting benefit, but again, things are out of balance. It's not the center of our family. And what ends up being the center of our family may be an area of self that's the center of our family rather than the Spirit of Christ. Or it may be this other area out here, which we would say was something else. Maybe that ends up being the center of our family. Jesus is talked about. We acknowledge Him. We appreciate Him. But is He the center? No. And because of that, things are all out of control. Now let's just say the concentric circles was, if you can picture that again, that was a wheel. And the attachment to the vehicle
was that very sinner. As that wheel goes around, wheels on the bus go round and round. As that wheel goes around, is it going to beat anything to death as it goes, or is it just going to be a smooth ride as it goes around? Everything's the same. Nothing changes. You can rotate that whole thing around and nothing changes. You won't notice one single thing. But let's say this is where we're connected to the vehicle. What happens when this thing starts going around? It'll beat you to death. If you're driving your truck and your tire looks like that, Aaron, by the time you got halfway down the road, you know you've been somewhere. It's out of balance. It's out of control. And although it can have some of the trappings of a life that's in order, it's not in order. Things are out of order. Things are out of balance. And you see people, why aren't things working in my life? They ask, we go to church. My family's there with me and we talk about God from time to time. And, why are things not working in my life? Well, is Jesus the center of your life or is He just in there somewhere? Come on now. This answers a lot of questions. This isn't the worst scenario. This is one we see a lot of. Let's go to the random circles. Random circles. Okay, same thing. We have the area of deposit. This person is born again. They got the nature of Christ. Their spirits and His spirit are one. They're a new creation. Now God says, I want you to take that. I want you to see that flow out to the rest of your life. I want you to reign in life. So what happens? Well, there's the next area of focus. All right. Again. Oh, that's not even the next area of focus because we lose track after a while. That's just another area of focus. Okay, is that ourself? We do things for ourselves and we take care of ourselves, and it's completely outside of the center of God's will for our lives. It's just happening. We do what we want to do when we want to do it, and we take care of our family the same way. Look, random circles. Now, a person could say, well, I'm born again. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. How is that going to get out to anything out there? It's usually void of the life of Christ. It's not even kind of working. It's void of the life of Christ. Thank you, Daniel. The area of deposit in each believer is the Spirit of Christ joined with our spirit. Excuse me. In our spirit, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are victorious in Him. But now we must exercise His victory and our authority in Him and grow in victory in all the areas of our life. We must enforce our reign, keeping Jesus as the center of our lives. Well, I want to talk today, and next week will be part two. We'll go on from here. But today we want to center in on, after our spirit, what is the next most important place to reign in? And we've already established that is self. The first most important place to reign is self. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28 says, and I really hope that y'all can just bear with me as we go through this. This is so important. It's so important not only for your own growth, but for your understanding of what may be happening in the lives of people that we wonder sometimes, what happened to them? Why aren't they growing? Why aren't they farther along? Why do they have ups and downs as big as they do? Why
is there no victory.
He that hath no rule over his own spirit or himself is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He can't reign anywhere else. He can't even protect himself.
You ever known people that just seem like, from a moral standpoint or a spiritual standpoint, every cold that's going around, they catch? I'm not talking about real sickness. I'm talking about the effects of sin. That everything going around, anything that could possibly happen, usually happens to these people.
So self is so important. In fact, the Word of God tells us that one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits plural, it's fruit singular, and one of the aspects of that fruit is self, what?
Self-control.
Some people want to be delivered, they want to be free, but they are expecting God to just do it all. And He says, if My Spirit lives within you, you have the power. You have the power to control the things that are affecting you. I've given you the ability to reign in life, to control self. You have to exercise it. You have to believe Me enough that you can do it. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying you don't have to cry before the Lord. I'm not saying there's nights where you don't weep after failing. But then you stand up again and you go back to God and say, God, I know it can work and I know it will work because Your Spirit lives within me. And if it can get in here, then it can come out here. That's the greatest miracle that ever took place, is the Lord becoming one with your spirit for you being saved at all to begin with. That's the greatest miracle that can ever happen. Anything going on in your flesh is nothing after that. If you will just believe God and apply the things that He says to apply.
Okay, concerning self, we're going to talk first of all about reigning over anger.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 said, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." Where do we need to rule? Over anger. He's contrasting someone who is slow to anger and someone who can't. And the one who can is ruling his spirit. The discretion of a man, Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The discretion of a man. Discretion. What does discretion mean? Oh, just use your discretion. What does that mean?
Judgment.
Your judgment. Your choice. Whatever you want to do. Use your discretion. The discretion of a man. You have the ability to choose a man who chooses to defer his anger. You don't have to vent your anger. You can choose to do something else with it. If you have the rule that you're exercising.
Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. This is how serious it is.
Don't even keep company with somebody who's got a serious anger problem. Because that person is not in control of themselves. And I guarantee you, from the concentric circles, if it's not working in this next circle after that, can it get to his family? Not really very well. Can it get to the places it needs to be? Not if... We used to do school work on the ACE program, and they had these packets of education they called PACES. You couldn't get to Science 103 without finishing Science 102. You couldn't just say, well, I'm fed up with this one, let me try something else. No, everything builds upon itself. That's how it works in these concentric circles. You can't skip, okay, forget it, let's go to another circle. Pass. Things aren't working very well in your life. You got a little bit of an anger problem there. I know. Let's pass on that one. Let's go to something else. No, it flows through self to these other areas. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. A wrathful man not only has problems himself, but he causes problems. Again, I'm showing you the clear-cut picture of God. Okay, I made the circles and I made a picture for you to see, but I'm just trying to make something visually that you could see what God clearly says in His Word, that it won't go from here to there. You can't take reigning and power and blessing from here to there. Not only can you not do that, you're probably going to interject something bad in its place. Reigning over anger. Brothers and sisters, whether we're talking about somebody you know or whether we're talking about you, or whether we're talking about me, I used to have a terrible anger problem. Before I was saved, man, I used to smash trash cans. I used to put my hand through, fist through walls. I used to just go on a rampage. And the more I did it, the more I gave place to it. It's just like anything with the devil. The more you're open to do it again next time and do it worse. Because you've already done it this bad last time. Especially if you're trying to impress people about how angry you get, and so they can not mess with him. He'll put his fist through your car or something. So you're going to really make a show of it next time because you got to beat your last time. Out of control. What help could I be to anybody else like that? None. Then after I was saved, there was a period of time in my life where things started getting on top of me and I wasn't. And then anger started to rise back up again. Something that I'd already been delivered of. Something that I already had walked in freedom. And I didn't smash things or whatever, but boy, would I let out a tirade of my children have been on the other end of it. At times, my wife has been on the other end of it. I had to get that back under control. You can't go and be a help to others if you yourself are out of control. So what did I have to do? I had to repent. I had to go to God for His grace. I had to retake ground that I had already taken before, but lost to the enemy again. I wasn't reigning in that area. And this whole thing is not to put anybody under condemnation, but to say, this is the will of God, this is where He wants us to go, and this is where we must go and should go. But the exciting part about it is we can. We can. Amen. None of us. Anybody says, well, I can't do that. Liar. If you're a child of God, you're lying. And that's a dangerous place to be in. Don't ever tell me God can't do something in one of His children. So, you got back in bondage again to something you got freed from. Get free from it again. And start living free. Amen? The next one is reigning over appetites. These are things, I just picked four areas that are big areas. I'm not by any means saying this is the only areas concerning self, but these are big areas. We have God-given appetites. Desires for things that keep us alive or bring pleasure to our lives. These appetites for approval, for food, for sex, for having a good well-being feeling all over, and power are good, but only if we are in control of them and they're done God's way. They, however, are terribly destructive if we allow them to control us. The bondage that can come from being controlled by our flesh is the opposite of reigning in life. Proverbs 23:2 says, "Put a knife to your throat, if thou be a man given to appetite." 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others myself, I should be a castaway. Again, we see the same thing. Paul's saying, I can't be effective to others if I myself don't have things under control. We talked about that before. When we're talking about the world, the flesh, and the devil, where Paul said that I'd be a castaway, he's not talking about on a desert island somewhere. He's talking about a coin that is misprinted and is not going to be used for service, so it's cast to the side and not used. Paul is saying, I don't want to be guilty of saying and mouthing things to others. And yet all the time, because I'm not looking at self and bringing self under control, that I am determined by God to be unworthy for His use. Again, it comes from here and it flows outward. And it's got to get out there from here. There's no other way. I cannot reign in my finances unless I'm reigning over areas of my life with appetites. I'll be a failure in most things. Amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Die is the opposite of life. We're to reign in life, not die in life. We reign by allowing the rule and control of God to come from that place of deposit up through our spirit into ourself in the areas of our flesh, and then on from there. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The next thing. Reigning over thoughts and fears. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When can you revenge all disobedience? When can you exercise authority somewhere else? When can you reign over disobedience? When your obedience is fulfilled. Parents, I'm not saying if you're not right, don't discipline your children. All I'm saying is your children will get the most out of that discipline if they're being disciplined by a parent who himself is disciplined. Does everybody understand? Don't take the attitude, well, I'm just going to give up because I'm no good. No, you get yourself right. And take care of your kids. They need it. They need you. The world needs you. Your family needs you. Your company needs you. Your nation needs you. Your church needs you. But we need you right. We need you hitting on all cylinders. We need the life of Christ flowing up. You need that for me. I'm not going to be effective in what I do if I'm not right. I'll tell a little thing to myself. Sorry.
Susan and I were having a little discussion the other day. And it's just one of those things. I said, well, I can't preach on Sunday like this. I couldn't. There's no way. I respect and fear God. I can't stand up here and be a known hypocrite. So what happened? Well, we had to get things right, didn't we? Didn't I? Doesn't take forever to repent. Doesn't take forever to get things right. Doesn't take forever to get back in a place of reigning over something. But you must do it. You'll never be any good out there till you're right in here. As reigning over thoughts. For as many, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. First John chapter 4, verse 18, for there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is crippling. You cannot reign and be fearful at the same time. Are you hearing me? You cannot reign and be fearful at the same time. Fear is crippling. It'll make you not do what you should do. It'll make you do what you don't want to do. And it can come, I confessed to Michael and Jason, I think it was about a year and a half ago. I remember it was around Christmas time when things had come to a head. Maybe it's a little bit longer than that. But things at work were so intense and so oppressive and just everything in the world. I can't begin to explain it now. It's not as real to me now as it was then. But I was so bombarded by thoughts that I wasn't taking control of, that those thoughts of negative and thoughts of defeat and thoughts of going under and everything brought fear to me. And I actually was living in a realm not of reigning in life, but living and being fearful. I was fearful of every time the phone rang. It wasn't, oh, there's another problem, you know. It was, oh, it struck me to my heart. I knew something else was going wrong. And I had to repent of that. I don't know how it got that bad, but I realized it and I asked the brothers to pray for me. But I was living in fear of something that it seems silly now, but it was real. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. You can be fearful that you're not going to make your next mortgage payment. I guarantee you, you're not going to be witnessing to a lot of people with all those thoughts in your mind, because it'll cripple you. You have to get in control of that before you can go out. Fear has torment. And being tormented is not reigning. And lastly, for today, reigning over your tongue. James chapter 3, starting in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and when we turn them about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they may be great and are driven of fierce winds, they are yet turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter, and a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members,
that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days. You want to reign in life? You want to have a good life? You want to be on top of things? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Once again, brothers and sisters, these are just a few things from the realm of self. We can go into all kinds of other things. You can find your own applications. You can look into your life and see things that maybe are there and are unique to you. That's between you and God. The main thing I wanted you to see today is that pattern is true. It's correct. From everything we've read, everything we've seen, and everything we're going to see as we go into the next step of this series. That the control, the reigning, the victory, don't expect it to happen somewhere else. You've got to get it there, and it flows through a natural set pattern from that area of deposit out through self and ongoing. I don't believe you do, but just in case you have any issue with that pattern being true, Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, Jesus speaking, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Do you see it? It starts here. We got no business in telling the state how to run the government of the state until we first learn how to live in harmony and unity and make things work in the church. We got no business in telling somebody else how to live if we're beating our wives and robbing our children of things that belong to them because we're gambling it away and being stupid with our money. Brothers and sisters, this is real stuff. We can be effective. We will be effective. We should be effective. We can reign in life. But we reign in concentric circles. We reign in realms. Not randomly. Random's not going to do it. Not in eccentric circles where the center is not the same and things are out of balance, but where the center of everything, the center is Jesus being one with our spirit and the deposit of Christ being there in that area of deposit. And that same center is in ourself. Why are things working within the outworking of ourself? Is because we go back to the center. Who's in here? Who's in here in strength? And what has He deposited? Why is it working in our family? Because who's the center of our family? Why does it work from out there? Because He's in the center. I'm going to close with this verse. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. How many have heard that verse before? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. But listen to the end of it. And if you don't understand what we've just been talking about, this last part probably hadn't made a lot of sense to you. But it will now. According to the power that worketh in us. When that power that works in us begins to work and work its way out, then all these things that we can only think and imagine begin to happen. Because it begins to be under the reign and control of Almighty God through us exercising His authority. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for what You're saying to us. We thank You for the clarification that it brings. We thank You for the spurring on that it brings, Lord God. I pray that no one here would hear condemnation, but they would hear a voice of perhaps correction, a voice of perhaps direction. That whatever is out of whack can be made right in Jesus' name. And whatever is out of whack should be made right in Jesus' name. It's time to make corrections in the areas that need it. And it's time to go forth and apply Your rule and Your reign in more than where it has been in the past. We thank You for Your word in Jesus' name. Amen.